Jesus is here.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Find me in your mercy, Lord. Align me till I'm whole.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. All right. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and I'm here with Nanette Maldonado, my co-host.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Deanne had to change her plans today, and she had to be at work, so hopefully she'll be back next week. You know, she's got the kind of job where you don't know from one day to the next if you're going to be here or there, you know, in her profession. But blessings, Deanne. Hope you're able to listen this morning.
Yes, we miss you.
Yes. And so this morning I wanted to start off with Psalm 42:5. And I'm starting off here because I think it was Monday or Tuesday we were here stuffing the envelopes and getting ready for our upcoming prayer and share. Dave and his wife were here. And the phone rang, so I took the call, and it was from a young man that wanted prayer. You know, we always have people calling the station asking for prayer, and we love being able to pray for each one of you. And so this young man called, and, you know, he's called several times, you know, with different things going on. But, you know, he's got some medical issues that are, you know, really weighing heavy on him. And I think they're really affecting the rest of his life and his family and stuff. So anyway, so, you know, I put him on speaker, and then, you know, he told me what he wanted prayer for. And, you know, I could just feel the compassion of the Lord for this young man. And, you know, there's so many people that are going through things that we don't even know about, suffering in silence, that, you know, in their homes, away from others. And, you know, if they don't cry out to someone, then nobody would even know that they're there. So I felt the compassion of the Lord, so I just prayed for him, for the different situations. But it's been weighing heavy on me for a few days now. And so the Lord this morning brought me to Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And, you know, back in verse 10, my bones, you know, for those that are in physical pain, and even emotional and mental pain is very draining on a person. And, you know, you feel like your bones suffer mortal agony as your foes taunt you. And doesn't the enemy taunt you? And, you know, and I had been talking the last couple of weeks about, you know, how I had been sick for like almost over a month. And it was like, wow, I was like down in the pits. And, you know, you just, when I'm sick, I go deeper with the Lord. I say, it's like you have to just turn your mind off to the pain or the sickness or whatever it is you're feeling, and just dig really deep and look for the Lord and look to him for his comfort, because he's the only one that can bring that comfort. And, you know, but the enemy, if we listen to the enemy when we're in these very hard places, the whole purpose of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's looking to do. So if you're weak in an area, but I'm talking about physical sickness and maybe some emotional distress or mental stuff going on, the enemy will just taunt the heck out of you, you know. And the only way out is, if you don't have people around you to pray for you, you've got to dig deep. Dig deep in that place, looking for the Lord and looking for him to come and rescue you. And if you look at, let's see, Psalm 145, I think. I might have, oh no, the promises of God. So Psalm 91, 14 through 16. So however you're feeling, whatever you got going on, it's the Lord always has an answer, and it's always going to get better. It's always going to get better from where you are today. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus. So Psalm 91, let me get there, 14, verse 14. I can't see with these glasses. I didn't clean them. So there's like little smudgy marks here.
Psalm 91, you said?
Yeah, verse 14 through 16. So it says that, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And of course, we know that the crux of Psalm 91 is, you know, his protection and his watching over us. And when we hide ourselves in him, then when those times of trouble come, he's there with us. He doesn't leave us when we're in the midst of trouble. And then also in Psalm 18, verse 16, 16 through 19. I should have used my little sticky note. 16. Psalm 18, 16 to 19. Okay, he reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And I know many times that I have been in a place where, in the clutches of the enemy, where I could not extricate myself from the situation. And when we're there, when we call upon the Lord, he will reach down and he will pull us out and deliver us from those places. And, you know, he rescues us from our powerful enemy, from our foes who are too strong for me. I'm telling you, if you're down and you don't know the Lord and you don't know the Word and you don't know who you are in Christ, then the enemy's going to just keep you down there and keep squashing you like a bug. But when you know the Word of God and you know His promises, then that gives you the hope. When your hope is in Him, then you know that at some point He's going to come and He's going to rescue you. So all is not lost. And so, you know, with that brother, I have hope for him. I have faith for him. And any others who are in these really difficult situations, you know, we'll pray. Maybe we'll pray in a little bit for those that are in those situations, any kind of thing. Maybe we'll just pray. We don't have anyone here to answer the phone, so we can't open up the phone line. But we can pray, and the Holy Spirit would lead us to pray for your need, because the Holy Spirit knows all things. And when we pray, we know that we're going to be praying according to His will, and then He's going to minister to the hearers.
There are so many people hurting right now, have lost loved ones, are battling with a diagnosis, with the fear of death in mind. And even just the other day, I was with a group of women, and this lady had shared some deep wounds and some deep things of recent losses. And you know, there is a son that still is walking wayward, away from God. And it was interesting that as she was sharing, I just caught myself just being just so full of hope and so full of just knowing that her son would be saved and will come to know Christ as his Savior and his Lord. And so I get a little excited when I have those moments, and so I instantly just become overjoyed. And I was just telling her, listen, you know what? There's a harvest coming, and I see your son being one among many coming to the Lord. And I'm just excited, and I just believe that. I believe this harvest, and that your son is going to be part of that harvest. And she was just looking at me, and it was like she wanted to believe that, but she had no feeling. Like, she just couldn't, but yet she couldn't even voice that. But the Spirit knows, right? And I took a step back because I saw that, you know, where she was. And again, same thing, Karen, with compassion. I just grabbed her hand and I said, listen, I know that you don't have faith for that right now. I know you have nothing at this moment to say, I agree with that, or I believe in that, or I even have hope for that. But guess what? I'm here today to say that I'll hope for you. I'll believe in that for you. I'll stand and pray that and believe that for you. It's okay. He knows where you're at. And again, that scripture where it says, you know, mourn those with that are mourning and rejoice with those that are rejoicing. And so at that moment too, you know, when your brother is down and you're up, you hold him up. You know, hold her up, you hold him up. And you do that by praying and believing for them when they don't have it. And so that's interesting how we dealt with the same thing this week of just coming across people that are hopeless. And, you know, when I look at the scriptures that you were using, like in Psalm 42, you know, with beginning with 5, you know, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I just love the language there, because it's saying right there, why?
Exactly.
Why are we finding ourselves in this place? Why are we discouraged? And why is our heart so sad? Not that I'm saying that you can't be sad, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't be sad. What you're facing are real things. Loss, sickness, mm-hmm. whatever it is. They're real. They're painful. But the language here, I just love it when it immediately just shifts and it says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. It's not necessarily saying, I will put my hope in God because I'm going to receive the outcomes mm-hmm. that I want or desire. It's not even focused on the thing at hand or the thing we're facing or the loss at the moment. But it's saying hope. There's something about just having that
yes.
hope. And it says, I will praise him. For weeks now, I felt like, for me, the Lord was telling me, you need to praise me. Amen. You need to praise me in the days coming. You need to praise me every day. Get in that habit. Get in the flow of praising me. There's something to that, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says it right there at the end mm-hmm. of that. Mm-hmm. For yet I will praise him,
my Savior and my yeah. God. And so, again, so it's saying, here's this question, why? But he's giving us the answer. Put your hope in me, in a God that never fails you, in a God who's committed to you from the beginning to the end, a God who's all-knowing, who you're at the palm of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that he is with you. Last week, remember, I mentioned about the young lady sharing her testimony about her baby's, the losing her stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that God was so gracious to show her in a vision that he was present. And she needed to see that he was hurting, that he was crying. And so was his angels, mm-hmm. you know. And so that to her brought peace and brought healing, and again brought that trust. And so I'm definitely feeling the burdens of so many mm-hmm. sorrows and so many people losing hope or not having the hope of their salvation.
Right. Well, again, you know, when I was sick, and remember, you know, I had said on the program, even I didn't care about anything, I just wanted to get better. And you know, but I was just in bed, I was down on the mat and not getting up for, well, it was 8 days straight, you know. And I said, well, Lord, I know that you're with me, so I'm just gonna sleep it off, because I didn't have the strength to pray or anything. But I did have the hope in knowing that there were others who were praying for me. I may not even know who they are, and they may not know that they were praying for me, but that gave me hope, knowing, like what you said, when you're down, you know, other people are going to be lifting you up, and when you're up, you need to lift others up. Mm-hmm. And you know, not, this may be out of context, but you know, when Jesus said to Peter after he betrayed him, I'm not saying it in that context, but it was just the thing. Jesus says, when you have overcome, go back and strengthen your brethren.
Mm,
you know, that's what I think of whenever I'm sick, whenever I'm, like, you know, out of sorts, or, you know, really in the downtime. The only thing I'm doing is just hanging on to the Lord, you know, and in my quietness, in the quietness of my spirit, I'm hanging on to him. And I may not be outwardly happy and stuff like that, but I'm still hanging on to the Lord. And you know, when I'm in a good place, I'm always looking, but the Lord's always alerting me to people that are down, you know, so that we have the opportunity to pray and to lift them up, and just know that we are not without hope in Jesus.
Yes.
You know, he's always there. And I guess that's my thing for today. Just hope in him. Put your hope in him. Put your trust in him.
And what are we doing? We're going to the Word for that.
Yes. We've got to strengthen ourselves, just like David did. You know, once the baby had died, you know, he was in there wailing for days. And then when the baby died, he just got up. He cleaned himself up and just went and strengthened himself in the Lord, because he couldn't do anything about that which was dead. Maybe you have some dead things in your life, not people, but things or situations that the Lord wants you to just let go of. You know, because a lot of times maybe we're lamenting something that once was, you know, and that's keeping us in a place where we cannot get free from. But the Lord wants to deliver you and set you free.
Yeah.
Today.
There's things that are out of our control. Like, it was interesting that you were in those Psalms. I was in Psalm 44. And I had started reading it from number 3. And it said, they did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm, and the blinding light from your face that helped them, for you love them. You are my King and my God. You command victories for Israel. And of course, we know in this context it's talking about Israel. And it says, only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name can we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. I do not count on my sword to save me. You are the one who gives us victories over our enemies. And so, you know, I was looking at that and I was like, again, it's not by might. Nor by power, but by his Spirit. It's not by my strength and what I'm confident in, you know? And if I'm good at wailing my sword, all of that is great and all. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not saying to have those things. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, it's our dependency is on him. We're not in control, and it says by his power he'll push back our enemies. You know, either we get to that place to believe in it, Karen, or mm-hmm. we don't. And I'm in the business of believing and asking my Father, help me if I don't believe.
Right.
Put that in me. Establish that truth in me.
Amen. And I think a lot of times we forget that, you know, when we are born again, we become a new creation. You know, we're not the same person. You know, we still have our body and we still have our mind, our will, and our emotions, but we are not the same person. Our spirit man comes alive, and as we strengthen our spirit, you know, by intimate relationship with the Lord and with his Word, then our spirit man needs to rise above the flesh. We're always going to have that fight between the flesh and the spirit, because our flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And, you know, we just need to keep, we got to just keep on keeping on to recognize that and to push through that. You know, I was reading something this morning. It says, no matter, let me back up. There's a struggle that every single one of us faces deep within. There are two forces at war, the desires of the flesh and the longing of the spirit. This battle is not something you can escape, no matter how much you grow. I think a lot of times we kind of give up because we think, okay, we overcome something and then boom, that's it. We have, you know, we've hit pay dirt. But it just continues on and on, and it's, but that's how we grow in our faith. Let's see. Oh, this moved ahead. This battle is not something you can escape, no matter how much you grow. In no matter how much you grow in faith, no matter how deeply you study God's word, and no matter how much you desire to live a righteous life, it's an ongoing war, one that will persist as long as you walk in this earth in your flesh. It's your human nature, that part of you that craves things that pull you away from God. It's the old self, the part you were born with that naturally leans towards sin. It is impatient, it's self-seeking, it wants comfort and control, and it tells you to act on impulse, to chase after what feels good in the moment, even if it leads you away from the path that God has set before you. But the spirit man desires holiness. It hungers for righteousness. It seeks the presence of Jesus and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the peace that comes from living in obedience to God. But the flesh and the spirit are at war and direct opposition to each other. So I think once we realize that and have that in our psyche, mm-hmm. you know, then it's the perspective. We know that what the word says about us, when we know the word, then we can believe the word. You're talking about believing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to believe. Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive it. You know, it is according to the will of God. And the will of God is his word. So whatever is written in his word is his will. And if you believe and agree with his word, then the Lord's going to make sure that you accomplish everything that he has for you. But there's some scriptures here about who you are in Christ. Let me just read these as a reminder. Excuse me. That Colossians 1:14, I am forgiven of all my sins and I am washed in the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 6:10, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ephesians 1:3, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, I am healed by his stripes. Romans 8:37, I am more than a conqueror. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in him. Ephesians 1:6, I am accepted in the beloved. Romans 8:17, I'm an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know, that sometimes, you know, I read that, every time I read that scripture, I stop for a minute and I'm like, well, wait a minute, he created me to do some stuff. You know, am I doing the stuff that he created me to do? So when I'm in those places where things are difficult, things are hard, when the Lord brings me through, and when I'm on the other side of it, am I doing good works for him? The good works can be you believing him and trusting him and being nice to your spouse or your kids. It can be anything. He created us to do works according to his plan and his purpose. Not that we do works to gain his approval or anything. And Psalm 91:11, I am kept in safety wherever I go. Psalm 17:8, I am the apple of my Father's eye. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7, I have the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. And 1 John 4:4, I possess the greater one in me, because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. You know, all these scriptures, this is what feeds our spirit. When we feed our spirit with the word of God, then we are strengthened. If we don't feed our spirit, we become weak, and we're susceptible to all the things of the flesh that bother us constantly all day long. So the encouragement is to find out who you are in Christ and believe what he says. Hallelujah. And I think, yeah, let's just go to a break right now, and then we'll come back. And who knows what's going to happen.
You never know.
Right.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. You need to hear and embrace the Word of God. We are beginning a new live program on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 11 a.m., and it will air live every Tuesday. We call it a biblical response. It's designed to look closely at some of the hot-button issues impacting our culture. We will view them through the lens of biblical truth, the Word of God, not just exposing the meaning of today's evil events, but giving us a clear understanding of how to address them. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Okay, we are back, and what do you have, Nanette?
Well, you know, as you were just those scriptures based on who we are, you know, it just took me, I started thinking about Psalm 103, and I remember during the week, my mom had sent me a text, and she sent me a little devotional to share with me, and she says, also read Psalm 103. And so Holy Spirit is leading us there. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read it. And I just want to touch on some things, because after that, as I got this powerful revelation, and I believe it's going to be encouraging to those who are listening. It's a Psalm of David. It said, let all that I am praise the Lord. Here's that praise again. Mm-hmm. With all my heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me, or he does for me. He forgives all of my sins and heals all of my diseases. You need to believe that this morning. And he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. So he revealed his character to Moses, okay, 40 years in the wilderness, and his deeds to the people. That means there was actions displayed. There was actions that the people of Israel got to experience from God. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children and those who are faithful to his covenant, for those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. And so, this is just such an amazing psalm. But the part what was speaking to me the other day, and it's just speaking to me now, it says in 5, it says, he fills my life with good things. And then it says, which you're like, wow, why is that there? My youth is renewed like the eagles. Mm-hmm. Okay? And, you know, we say that sometimes. Oh, let my youth be renewed, right? Because mm-hmm. we think of us the older generation. Yeah. We say, you know, renew my youth like the eagles. So I went and I started researching, and I don't know if you know this, Karen, you probably do, but in Psalm 90:10, right? I went to Psalm 90:10, and it said, okay, I remember this scripture, and it said, this is Psalm 90, number 10, it says, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, okay? But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Now, I was taken to that scripture because I was like, okay, so, you know, this is when I was asking the Lord, like, well, is there a kind of deadline? You know, is there, how long can a person live? And anyway, so it says 70 years are given to us and some live to 80. And some we know, right, mm-hmm. live past that. So I went there and it was like, I heard, the reason of strength. The mm-hmm. reason of strength, right? And it said, I started researching on these eagles. And so, and you can look it up in your time alone to just go further with this. But when an eagle turns 40, Karen, right? He decides, when he turns 40, he already knows he needs to return to the mountain. He needs to go to the mountain. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the scriptures that we're reading today is about going to the mountain, going to the hill, going to that place with God, right? So he's to go to the mountain and he's to go into the nest, right? And in that nest, during that time, he begins this awful, painful process of I guess his beak begins to kind of slant down or whatever, so he needs to hit his beak, right? Most of his beak, and he begins to deal with his feathers because his feathers get so dry, so even the crows are like pulling and pecking his feathers. So he goes through this ugly process of banging himself. You know, really, he gets... You guys got to see it. I mean, go see it. It was an awful picture of his beak. His beak looked really bad. His wings. So those wings were, you know, were interfering with his soaring and his flying. So he couldn't. He had to go to the mountain. He had to go to the nest and go through this painful process to renew his strength. And he had to go to this painful process in order to live more years, in order to get to 70 years. That was speaking so much to me, because in our walk of faith, it's not all joyous. It's not all in the highs, right? We know that.
Right.
We have the mountain experience. We have the valley experience. We have the experience of drought. We have the experience of the wilderness. The psalm that you were reading, it talked about the deer panting for water. I mean, he's panting. That is an excruciating pant. He's thirsty. He could die. He's in need of a water. And just like our soul is in need of him, you see, this eagle is the most beautiful, the most powerful bird ever, you know, in his species. And he needed still a time to say, I need to go to the mountain. I need to go to the nest. I'm going to go through a painful experience, but I know that this experience is going to take me to the next years. It's going to extend my life. It's going to take me further. And without it, I can't go any further. Without it, my youth is not renewed.
And don't don't they pluck all of their feathers out?
Oh. Yes, because they're dried.
But then they come back.
But they come back. And his beak becomes so beautiful and strong again. And he becomes whole again. He becomes... It's just some things are necessary, you know.
Death to self.
Yes.
Really.
Death to self. And all the reasons are for us to walk in that strength. His his strength, that renewal process, the restoration process, the replenishing, and to trust God that even though there's an end to things, there's a beginning. There's a beginning.
Right.
And we're going to be far better than we were yesterday.
Wow. You know, and one of the most painful things is to realize that you can't do anything. You know, we're at the mercy of the Lord. You know, and he's the one. You know, we plan out everything in our lives. We try to plan it out, our days, everything. But he's the one that determines when things are going to go down. When things are going to happen, you know, and that's very humbling when you you come to that place where, you know, then you can surrender. It's easy to surrender at that point when you realize that all of our efforts, our human efforts, and all these wonderful things that we try to do, they're great, but if the Lord is over here wanting something else, then, you know, it's not so great.
Yeah. And we can't bypass, we can't take shortcuts. I wish we could, you know, I wish we could. And even in the midst of our pain, you know that he's with you in that pain.
Exactly.
Know that he is crying when you're crying. When something hurts you, it hurts him. Someone who paid the price for you. Someone that doesn't necessarily have to do any more for us, honestly. But yet he still bears things, bears all things for us. He's still the one we can give our burdens to. And he's still the one that truly, truly understands when nobody doesn't.
Amen. Once you know that, it's that's the biggest amount of comfort. When you know he loves you more than anybody else in the earth. That, you know, when you put your hope in him, put everything in him, he'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. You know, his everything he does is always towards your good, always towards, you know, his version of you. You know, we want to create our own version of ourselves, but he has a purpose and a vision of you in his mind. And only he can accomplish that with your help by yielding to him and killing your flesh. Every day, kill that flesh. Don't let your past come up and try to keep you looking back there.
No.
You know, we're running a race to let go of everything that is behind and to apprehend everything that is ahead for us in this life. And he's got so much for us, and I don't want to say we don't trust him enough, but why don't we trust him? Why do we just wig out when something happens? Because I do it myself, and like, come on, God. But and then you're like, okay, all right, let me throw that to the cross.
Yeah,
bring it down to the cross.
Yeah,
and let go of it. And anyway, so Nanette, you think we should pray? Since we did mention that we would pray for people.
Yes.
So we know that the Lord will, he's going to direct our prayers. You know, when we pray by the Spirit, we don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows who needs what. So if you want to go ahead and start.
Yeah, even right away, I'm just thinking, and I don't know if this is an actual proverb or if it's in the Proverbs or in the Psalms, but you know, I'm hearing that you know, that Joseph, you know, in order for him to receive his dreams, the dreams that were promised him, there was a testing of his character. There was a testing of his character. And some of us, we don't like that. Some of us, we don't want that. But I pray right now that in the midst of those listening who are waiting for dreams, that there's dreams that you've had and your hope is deferred, again, just trust that he is just testing your character. He's bringing about the character that's necessary for the fulfillment of that dream, for you to walk it out the way that it's pleasing to him. And just like Joseph, wow, his end was truly bright, wasn't it? His I mean, there was reconciliation in his family. There was a position awaiting for him because of the integrity that was demonstrated in him, the perseverance that was oozing out of him. You know, it so much of his character was tested in order for him to value, right, what he was about to receive, but also steward it in excellence. And I mean, he was the right hand man for Pharaoh. And he was able to save a nation, provide for a nation. So hear me, Joseph's out there, you know, allow the testing. I pray that you will allow the testing of your character. I pray that you will be like those eagles, that you will go to the mountain, go to the presence of our God, go to him, allow him to pluck those wings, to remove those dry ones that have been so affected by the winds and the storms of life. And that beak, Lord, you know, I thank you that you're setting a guard in their mouths, Lord, that they will speak life and not speak death, my God. And so I thank you for that time in the nest for them, and may they come out and their youth is renewed like the eagles. And so that is my prayer for you all today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And what I'm getting is, you know, that we we walk with the Lord. So I'm just getting the picture of Jesus and you just walking down the path. And often we try to run ahead and or we try to run off the path and do different things. And maybe he does give us a glimpse of the end, but, you know, we always end up trying to make the end come about in our own way. But the process of walking with him, you know, because he's refining us, he's preparing us for that actual thing that is at the end, you know, and it's this preparation time. So that no matter how hard it gets or how lonely it gets, you know, that he's still there, like we were talking about earlier. He's still there, and he's leading and guiding. He leads us and guides us in the way that we should go. And I just feel very strongly that even in this time in the body of Christ, that, you know, actually last year when we were talking about that the Lord is speaking to his people, I think that, you know, almost 2 years now, that I think when Cynthia was here, she said that God is speaking to each one of us individually, and he's putting us back on the path that he has for us.
Amen.
So think about the him taking the pressure off of you to be doing stuff that you don't need to be doing. And it's okay to surrender and grab hold of his hand to get back on the path with him. Because, you know, his word says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So when we when we decide that we're going to walk with him, then things become clearer, things become much more pleasant. You know, our ways become pleasant. And the stresses of trying to do other things dissipate. And then he becomes, you know, where you don't want to be going to the grocery store without, if it's not the right time for you to go to the store. You know, mm-hmm. Some people may think, oh, well, that's like, you know, you don't have to ask Jesus for that. Yeah, you do. You have to say, Lord, like when I was on my way home the other night, Lord, I feel like I want to stop at Publix for one thing. And then I asked him, and he's like, no, go home. And I just went home, you know, so who knows? But I mean, something as simple as that, you know, he knows the ways that we take, and he desires to lead us. And it's because I almost feel like when we surrender and yield, we're going to, not that we're going to get there faster, but we're going to enjoy the process as we go along. So my encouragement and my prayer is that you'll just draw near to him.
Yes, Lord.
And the promise in the word, he said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. If you yield to me, then I will be right there. So, Lord, we just lift up all of our listeners, and we thank you, God, for each one that tunes in every week. Father, we just thank you, and we bless them. We just ask, Lord, that each one will just take it to heart that you really desire. You desire to be with them. You desire to have that relationship with them. You desire to be the first thing in their life, because only you can satisfy the soul of a human being. So, Lord, I just pray that you would visit each and every one of our listeners. Father, that you would touch them, that you would minister to them, and that you would encourage them in their hearts, God, to yield to your counsel and to yield to your plans and purposes for their life. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom to speak about you over the airwaves. We thank you, God, that, you know, even though the enemy thinks he's the prince and the power of the air, you know, your word goes out from this place, God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your word goes out, God. And Father, we thank you that there will be a harvest, that there'll be a harvest for all who listen, all who are in this listening area, God. There'll be a harvest of souls. Yes. Lord, give us a desire for souls. Give us a desire, God, to minister and to lift up those around us who don't know you, Lord, because they're hurting. And you're going to cause that hunger in the lost that there'll be a hunger for you, Jesus, and they're going to be looking for someone to show them the way. So give us a sensitive heart to you, Lord. Let us, as we yield to you, Lord, we will hear what you're saying, and that we will be available for those that don't know you, Jesus. We'll be in tune with the lost. And wherever we go, whatever we're doing during the day, we'll be in tune with those who you have in the way for us to mm-hmm. speak to or to minister to.
Amen, yes. Yeah. Even you hear this too often. There, you hear people saying, oh, they're too dirty, or, some are too far gone. But do we believe in the power of when it says, and I know it we talk about it as far as a husband washing the wife mm-hmm. with the washing of the word. But listen, we're the bride of Christ. That's mm-hmm. what we're supposed to do to one another.
Amen.
I mean, we need to go out there saying, you know what, a person's dirty, don't leave them dirty.
Right.
Bring the word that's going to wash them. If a person is bound, bring the word that's going to deliver them and pull them out of the pit. You know, if a person is sick, bring the words that bring mm-hmm. life and healing to them. This is what we're called to do. We want the same for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know I do. Again, we invite you to go into the word. The word is the safe place. The word, I believe even my daughter was sharing the other day that this guy, you know, he would go to the word. Something about it, I'm not doing it justice. The bottom line, it was like he went behind closed doors and he sought after the word, and the word delivered him.
Amen.
The word delivered him. Sometimes you're not going to be able to walk through the doors of a church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not going to have a messenger come your way. Sometimes it's you picking up the word, and like Karen mentioned, encouraging yourself, strengthening yourself in the Lord. Get in that word, and I tell you, the word never fails you. He Amen. Never fails you. He will meet you. He will bring you the comfort you need. He will bring you the peace you need. He will bring the answer that you need. And I just pray that this time has been really, really encouraging to you all that's listening in.
Amen. Amen. And like the word where it's back there talking about praise the Lord. You know, why are you downcast? You know, you're thinking, okay, why am I downcast? Oh, my soul. But the Lord is saying, praise me, which is the complete opposite of what we want to do. We want somebody to come and put Band-Aids on us and balm and healing and cuddles and everything. And then we'll praise him afterwards. But when we praise him in the midst of whatever we're going through, then see how quick he's going to bring you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as well that to encourage you to, again, just look to Jesus. Don't look to people for answers. Look to Jesus. And like that gentleman you said got in the word, look, find it for yourself. That's what it, you know, just find it for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't get it from somebody right. else. You can't, why do you want chewed up food that somebody else had? No, mm-hmm. get fresh bread from the word yourself. So, all right, well, we're out of time for today. And we just thank you so much for joining us. And we will be back again next week.
Have a great weekend.
Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of the hidden places.
In all the hidden-